there. If you are a woman who does not have kids by chance, not by choice, this message is for you. If you had an inner desire to be a mother but never came to reality, this show is for you. If you got married at a later stage in your life, or if you are single and you never had the chance to even try, this is for you. If you were a mama at some point and suffered a loss, this is for you too. And if you want to feel like you are a part of a community, alongside other women who have walked a similar path, who understand you, who see you and feel you, this is where you belong. This show is called By Chance Podcast, a space for sacred conversations with women who don't have kids by chance, not by choice. I'm Elizabeth Diglau-Gus, your new friend and podcast host. I am a woman who has overcome 10 years of infertility struggles, including 3 years of failed adoptions. So trust me when I say, I see you. I'm also a social entrepreneur and a life coach, focusing on helping women thrive rather than just survive. I help women who are ready to transform their lives, empower themselves to live with purpose and radical self-love. Together, let's celebrate life and being a woman without being defined by the role of motherhood. And my hope is that you will feel seen, heard, and feel less alone when you tune in. Now it's time. Let's go. Welcome to a new episode of By Chance Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Diglau-Gus. This conversation with Julia gives me all the feels. We dive into her own personal transformation and how that made an impact in her life. And if you love talking about healing and the power of your breath as much as I do, I can't wait for you to listen to this. Julia is a podcast host called Life After Breath. She is also an intuitive healer and uses her intuition and spiritual gifts to heal and help her clients connect to their inner being. Julia has also been so gracious and generous to give you a gift. She's giving you the Fall in Love with Yourself bath ritual. You have to use the code to get it for free, so all the information will be in our show notes, so make sure to check it out. And be sure to check out the Life After Breath podcast as well. So without further ado, here's Julia. Enjoy. Well, hello, Julia. Thank you for joining me here.
Absolutely.
It's great to finally actually talk to you in person because I know we belong in the same group. We belong in the same coaching program, but now I get to know you more and really just connect with you. So thank you for being so willing.
Absolutely. It's my absolute pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
I know I posted this message in our group and asking, you know, who would love to share their story and be one of my guests. And you were one of the first ones to just like, oh, yes, me. Thank you for doing this. So you've been very, very supportive and you've been so kind and gracious with this whole thing. So I really appreciate you for that. And obviously, I would really want to hear about your story. But before we dive in, want to tell us about yourself and what you're doing these days and just anything that you
absolutely
want to share.
Well, I actually have my own podcast and that is primarily what I'm doing right now. That's not true. I'm splitting, but but it does take up a lot of my time. I have a daily podcast that's called Life After Breath. And it's every day I've got three different segments for my podcast. And every day is our daily breath where I just give a little bit of motivation, some things to think about throughout the day. And then we spend about 3 to 5 minutes breathing. I think it's really important to start your day with just a couple of breaths. I usually encourage people to start with 3 minutes just so that you can connect to your inner being, connect to your true self, which not to get too woo-woo on people, but I believe is connecting to source energy or the universe, God, fill in the blanks, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just the absolute best way to start your day out in a positive, grateful, full of gratitude kind of way. And so that's what I do. And then there's two other segments where I interview people. And then also there's like a 15 minute a week of me talking and kind of coaching, providing information kind of thing. So that's Life After Breath podcast. And then I'm an intuitive healer. So I help people. I do energy healings. I talk to people about their path, where they are, where they want to be, and kind of honestly just allow my intuition and my connection to source energy kind of dictate where those lead. And they can be pretty powerful. I just came off of one, so I'm vibing a little high right now. But
I feel it. And I'm sure everyone can feel this. So thank you for sending in this high vibe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I do want to say, like, you know, you're so generous and my support of you. But I think what you're doing is so important. And this is what I said to you in that message. And that it is so, our society focuses so much on woman equals mother. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true. And I just think that it is kind of about time, but it's definitely important for the message that you're sending and like what you're talking about to be heard. not just so that people understand, because I think that people just have no idea how painful it can be for some women who are being called mothers when they, it is their deepest desire to be a mother and they cannot be. And so I just want to thank you for providing this space for me, for us, for the women of this world. So thank you.
I receive that and I appreciate that. Yeah, this is very meaningful to me, as you can imagine, because this is about our life stories, right? And yeah, unfortunately, it's the society, and it goes back generations, decades, you know, way, way back when, where really it's just about women and procreation. That's really what it's about. But well, and we're evolving,
so
right?
Right, right, right. And for so many years, it was held societal, religious-wise, like all these different things, that was a woman's sole purpose, was to bear children. And so then if you can't do that or you don't want to do that, what does that make you? What does that make you less of a woman? Does that make you not part of society? Like, does that not make you a woman? Or does it mean that your life doesn't have worth or value? And so I love that you are here to remind everyone and to confirm with us that that's not true, that my value is not in my uterus. Let's just put it that way.
Exactly, you know what right? I mean? Because it's like, we've been so defined by these roles that society has put upon us as a woman. Oh, you're this, you're wife, you're meant to be a mother, this and that. But it's like, when does it stop? And then what if it's not about our choices, right? But it's at the end of the day, there are times that it doesn't really work out with everything that we want. And having a baby, you know, wanting to be a mother is one thing. But what if you cannot bear a child? Or what if you just not able to walk down that path? So now what, right? And that's why there's so much shame and embarrassment and stigma around it.
Yeah.
And I know I wanted this conversation to start, and also this community, because I felt so alone for so long. And even to this day, it's hard, because I've even lost relationships and friendships because they walked into the motherhood role. And so it's all about play dates and hanging out with other friends who are moms. But then it's like, hello, I'm still here. Yeah. Like, I don't have kids. We can still have a play date, right? Like, you know.
Right.
But it's the sad reality, I think, in a sense.
Absolutely. And I think that this platform is so useful, meaning like podcasting, because you're going to reach the community of mothers who now won't feel alone, like what you were talking about. But also, you're going to reach women who don't realize that they've thrown away friendships because they've only gravitated to people that have children or that can identify with that part of them. I have a friend who has a mother-specific podcast. And so sometimes I struggle with that. And it's like, but one of the things that she definitely focuses on is, like you said before, it's about balance. Yes, absolutely, you're going to have play dates and you're going to have those things, but it's important for you to have balance and be more than just a mom. Mm-hmm. That's part of breaking this stigma too, is that women with children can be more than just a mom, can be more than just a wife, that, you know, that they actually don't lose their value or their sense of self because they've had children. And that's the other end of the spectrum. But I think that this conversation is important for those people too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think women lose themselves from identifying themselves from these 100%, 100%. Roles. And it's honestly, you know, with the work that we both do, and we're about healing, and we're in this very like intuitive space.
Yeah.
And doing all the self-growth and development, right? We do meditate and do all of that because we believe that there is so much more to us.
Yeah.
And I think now that, yes, we are not moms, but we get to really redefine our meaning and purpose without having to be attached to any of these roles that really just like, oh, that's the norm, so I'll just go there, right?
Right.
And it's like, this is more fulfilling. And it's just like, let's celebrate life. There is so much more to life than just, you know, being even attached to the job, the career, right? So again, there's like so many different components to this.
Yeah. It's interesting because what we're ultimately talking about is identity, right? Mm-hmm. And we can, like for me, you know, I had this massive weight loss journey. And so even still, having lost a whole bunch of weight, my identity was found in this scale, mm-hmm. even though it was where it needed to be on a health perspective. if that scale number goes up or down, all of a sudden, that's my identity. I'm tied into that. And then at the same time, I kind of had to find who I was again as a thinner person because, and I mean, thinner, healthier person rather than, you know, where I was. But that was my identity. I always identified as big and fat. And so now all of a sudden I have a new identity and that's not it. And so it's like where I realized not too long ago that whether we identify ourselves, what are we claiming for our lives, I guess, even beyond identity? I'm a mother. I'm a mom. I work. I do this. This is my job. I weigh this much. I'm this size. I'm a perfectionist. What are we claiming about ourselves? Those are literally like kind of like walls of protection that we start to put around ourselves when really none of that is who we are. Mm-hmm. Those Amen. Are just things that we've claimed or that we've put our energy or our power into. We don't know who we are a lot of the times. And so that's when I realized people were asking me what I wanted and it was like, I don't know. And I believe very strongly that you can't know what you want out of life, what you want out of your existence, what you want for your legacy, what any of those things. You can't know what you want unless you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so important, full circle, to spend 3 minutes with yourself every day and just connect to that inner voice because that's who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100%. I think it all goes back to that, yes, self-awareness that we all need, right? But not everyone is willing to be self-aware because most times it's more scary and it's harder to actually become aware of your feelings and then you don't know what to do with these feelings.
Right.
I know meditation has been a powerful tool for me. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing meditation. It's still fairly new, but like in the last 6 years, but meditate twice a day.
Yeah.
And I have a long history of depression and anxiety. And so for a long time, like that's just been a roller coaster ride. Right. But meditation actually really helped my anxiety. And so it's like, oh, I'm a testimony to that. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I can't believe like I just started meditating just now.
Right. Right. Well, and the reason for that is because when you're meditating or even I hesitate to say that my morning breath is meditation. It is. Like, let's be honest. That's what we're doing. But literally taking 3 deep breaths, that could be considered meditation. And so, but meditation is one of those words, that people like immediately like run from. They think like, I know me, I grew up in a very traditional religion and meditation equaled negative. You can pray, but don't meditate. Mm-hmm. Don't do yoga. Don't, you know, those types of things get you into a new age kind of spiritual thing. And that was off limits to me. And so I tend to not talk about meditation as much. I have expanded my vocabulary recently, but I talk about taking those breaths and really working on your breath work. Now, I'm not a breath work practitioner. I'm not like, there's some amazing things that you can do with your body and like to assist your, like seriously, check it out if you're interested, because the energy that you can create by taking a certain type of breath is incredible. Mm-hmm. Check with your medical professional because it can alter your heart rate. It can be careful. But the breath work that I do is literally about just noticing, taking the time to notice what's happening when you're breathing. Your lungs are expanding. What does that feel like? What does the air feel like as it comes into your nose? And what that's doing, what I'm asking you to do by paying attention to those things is to be in this present moment. And anxiety and depression is 100% about being in the future or in the past. But when you are here right now, you are safe. You are protected. There's nothing else going on but this moment and this moment and this moment. Now, I don't want to belittle any sort of like diagnosis of anxiety or depression. Like I'm not taking any of that away from anybody, but I'm saying that you can massively change the magnitude of those things by taking the time 3 minutes a day to breathe and be aware of what's happening in your body while you breathe. There's so many things that it does for you. I talk about very specific things, but there's a lot going on backstage.
Yeah. Sure.
And you can take those very few minutes every day.
I love that you simplified that because the word meditation, you're right. It can be very intimidating. And in fact, like when I bring it up to friends and family, when I'm kind of like planting a seed, like, you know, this will be good for you. Just take a 3-minute silence, like just that, do nothing and just take a moment for yourself to pause.
And do nothing is another thing. I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you.
No, no, no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
But like the idea in our society of doing nothing is scary.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Always got, we do multiple things at a time. We've got to be going, doing, going, going, doing, doing, doing. And like, so that's why when oftentimes when you tell people to meditate, they're like, oh, I can't do that. I can't turn off my brain. And I'm thinking, well, good. Thank goodness you can't turn off your brain. Your mind wandering during a meditation or sitting still is your mind doing what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Your brain is working. That's what it's supposed to do. And so instead of being angry or frustrated with that, I encourage people to say, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for working. I'm really grateful you work. But right now, I'm going to let's focus on this. Let's focus on the fact that our lungs are expanding. Mm-hmm. Let's focus there. And now all of a sudden, I was actually talking to a client earlier today. Now all of a sudden, we're in control of our mind. We're in control of our brain. And the more conscious you can be, the more aware you can be that your brain is running the show, which is where anxiety, bipolarism, mm-hmm. like all of those things, your brain starts running the show and you're in panic mode and you all of these other things, you can become more conscious and if nothing else to be aware that that's happening. Mm. But I totally believe that you can also then grasp that and pull it back and say, I'm here right now. Right now I'm breathing in. Right this second I'm breathing out. In this moment, I'm doing this. In this moment, I'm doing this. And now we're here. And we don't have an opportunity to fall into panic about what's coming or what went or what happened or blah, blah, blah. We're right here.
Yeah. Just this moment.
Yeah.
I love that. And can I just say that I'm really geeking out on this right now because I love this conversation. And I could
keep going and going on this because this is not something you can have a conversation with anyone else, right? This is not something that people are willing to talk about. And I love this, but I want
to talk about it every day.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing, right? Like, good for you. That's amazing. I want to go back to like, I'm curious how your healing journey started. Because you did share very briefly about, you know, losing weight, that like, you know, that weight loss transformation. So how, and then is that sort of like the conduit to your healing journey or was it prior to that?
It definitely was the conduit to my healing journey and to where I am now. I was a completely different person 4 years ago, like night and day. People don't recognize
me. 4 years. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was during COVID. It was March of 2020, April of 2020. And I was prior to that.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? Yeah. Because it sounds like you've transformed like 10, 15 years ago from the wisdom and knowledge that you're just putting out.
Thank you.
The 4 years is actually, I'm in awe because it's like you're the epitome of like embodiment right now of everything that you just said. So I was surprised about that. She's like, oh, wow, 4 years only? That's it? Like embodying it. And it's impressive.
I mean, I am so grateful and I don't want to belittle. I mean, I received that and thank you very much. And I've been on the fast track for sure. And there's part of me that feels like that's because I wasted so much time getting here. But at the same time, I believe that the universe doesn't have a timeline. Like everything, all of our decisions lead us to where we are and here we are. And so, but I have definitely been on the fast track and you're not the only one to be like, oh my God. Like, and I'm going to tell you the last month, massive change, like to the point where I was stopped my business, took a couple of weeks and I'm starting something completely different. Like it's like going into healing instead of being a coach, like a health and nutrition coach, like U-turn, like crazy. So, but also totally divinely guided and completely what is right. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited. But so I was a workaholic. I worked 60 to 80 hours a week. I quote unquote loved my job. I think I convinced myself because I just kept telling people that I loved my job. But I noticed that like I would go to, I lost a lot of friends. My relationship, I have a great relationship with my mom and my brother and our relationship was like falling, like it was being stretched and was not great. And because I would be late to everything or I wouldn't show up because I would stay at work and like all of the things. And I realized that like I would go to a friend's birthday party and I would be able to talk to people as long as we were talking about my job. I was in theater and I live in New York and I worked in the Broadway industry. And so like as long as we were talking about Broadway, I'm good. Like I can hold my own, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as the conversation deviated to anything else, I had nothing to offer. And I would leave these parties and just be like, what's wrong with me? I know I'm fun. I know I have a great personality, like all of these things. And it was like, I have nothing to contribute. And so that's why when I tell people that I was a shell of a person, it's true, because all I did was work. And I would, like, eating wise, a lot of the weight that I gained came from not eating. Like I literally would eat crap in the morning. It would last me till 5 or 6 o'clock. I might have something to eat then, but usually I wouldn't eat till 8 to 10 o'clock, like at night. And then I'd go to bed and then like, whatever. And so anyway, all this to say, COVID hit, I'm working from home, which means that now I don't have to commute. So I work more. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, cool, put my feet up. It was work more. And so I did. And I had a conversation with a friend and I was like, if this is my purpose, I'm out. I'm done. And she was like, okay, we got to get you meditating. We got to get you doing yoga, like blah, blah, blah. This is about your mindset, blah, blah, blah. At that point, I was almost 300 pounds. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care about my weight. There are a lot of happy people in this world that are 300 plus pounds. What about me? Where's my happiness? You know? And it was the second night in a row that we were having this conversation. And I realized the only reason why I wasn't ending my life was because I could not allow my mom or my brother to find me. So if that were the case, then I needed to do something, but I had no idea what to do. The next morning, my coach called me and I had done this program with her, this like weight loss program with her 5 or 6 years ago. And I did it for 2 or 3 months and I had great success. But the thing about it that was different than anything else I'd ever done was that my mindset changed. Like I all of a sudden had more space to think. I remember being in a meeting and just being like, I am absorbing everything that's happening right now. And I have room to think for myself. Like it was just like my mind was clear and it was incredible. And so she asked me if I wanted to do this program again when she called me. And I was like, no, like I don't care about losing weight. And then it was like, I remembered that mind and I needed to do something for my mind because I knew that that's what was keeping me stuck. And so I said I would do it. So I ordered the products, blah, blah, blah. And then, literally a month, they sat here for a month. I didn't touch the box. Like they were just in the box. And
the resistance was strong.
Oh my God. I had no interest. When you hate yourself that much, you don't want to help yourself.
Yeah, I get
that. The only thing I wanted was for my mom not to find me dead on the floor. That was the only thing that kept me alive. And so long story short, I started the program reluctantly. In 2 weeks, I started yoga and I had done yoga before. I used to dance. I'm a flexible person. I'm relatively athletic, strong, all this stuff. And it was awful. And I hated myself for it. I did 30-minute yoga here on my living room floor. And I remember laying there at the end of that 30 minutes crying. And for the first time in my life, I was presented with the choice. And what I mean by that is normally, historically, I would just sit in that hatred of myself and how fat I was, how useless I was. Of course, I can't do this. Who do I think I am? All of those self-deprecating thoughts. But this time, for the first time, I got a, hang on a second. You haven't left the apartment except to take the trash for 3 months. Like, what makes you think you're not even walking to the subway anymore? Like, what makes you think that you're going to be able to do this? You haven't done yoga in 15 years. Why would you be able to do what you did then? Like, and all of a sudden it was like, you're not being very fair to yourself. Give yourself a break. Mm-hmm. And it was literally like being on a fence post and I could choose this yard to jump into or this yard to jump into. And again, for the first time in my life, I chose to give myself some grace. And I got up off the floor and didn't hate myself for not doing the best job in the universe. And I tried it again the next day and it was better. And I tried it again the next day and it was better. And I did yoga every day for going on almost 3 years, and then I stopped. But like, fast forward, in 10 months, I lost 130 pounds, went from a size 24 to a size 4, and that was amazing.
Wow.
And the health benefits, how I felt about myself, both physically and also mentally, were life-altering. I'd started coaching the program that I was using, so I was helping other people feel this way, and I felt incredible. And that's when I started realizing that when people started asking me what I wanted, and it was like, I don't know. And so then it was like, okay, you need to get in touch with who you are. I was introduced to the book, You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay.
Louise Hay, yes.
Highly recommend.
Amazing.
Oh, literally helped me into the next stage of my life. I still use so much of that book with my clients and with myself, and like, highly recommend. Just get the audiobook and put it on while you're washing dishes. Like, seriously, just listen to it. Anyway, that was transformational for me as well. Since then, I've explored all kinds of different things, and here we are. Like, that's a big synopsis. But it started with me taking care of my health. And while, yes, I lost a whole bunch of weight, my biggest goal was to get my mental health under control and to not hate myself so much. Once I was able to release that, I realized I feel very strongly. And so then I went from being a health coach to being what I called a complete wellness coach, because I believe very strongly that your body, mind, and spirit are all tied into one. And if you want lasting change for your body, then you also need to have lasting change for both your mind and your spirit. Then that moved into more things for me, which was kind of like, and I love this example, it's like a tree, and there's five branches of complete wellness. You've got your physical wellness, like your health and your fitness. Mm-hmm. You've got your mental wellness, wellness. You've got your spiritual wellness, sexual wellness, and financial wellness, because those are the five things that are natural to us and that cause us the most stress. And so if you can get all of those things in check, you're going to have a balanced body. How do you do that? Well, you need to start making conscious choices in your finances, in your sex life, in all of these things. You're making conscious choices and asking yourself, like, those beliefs, and this is where like the sexual wellness really comes in. Is that true for me? Is what society says about who I sleep with true for me? Mm-hmm. Or is that my mom's belief? Is that my old religion's belief? Is that, like, where do these beliefs come from? And so we start asking these questions and getting curious, and you can apply that curiosity to all five of those branches. But what that takes is that consciousness, which is the trunk of our tree, right, which is awareness. And I believe very strongly that the way to build awareness, like, how do you strengthen your awareness muscle? That's like asking you to put your hands flat on your, like, flat on the desk and like telling yourself to lift up your hand. Like, that's hard to do. You just do it. You just lift up your hand, you know, but literally be aware of the thought that is making you lift your hand. That's hard to do. People do it when they relearn to walk, or, you know, whatever that is. So how do you build this awareness? The trunk of your tree is you rely on the roots of the tree. And the roots of the tree for me is breath, is breathing. By being aware of what's happening when I take a breath, all of a sudden, after a little bit of time, after a little bit of practice, you're all of a sudden going to be more aware of the world around you. You're going to notice a tree that's been growing down the block, and you've lived there for 15 years and you've never noticed how beautiful that tree was. You're going to start noticing how you talk to yourself. You're going to start noticing how you think. You're going to start noticing traits in people that maybe are more negative than you want to be around. You're going to start noticing positive things about people. You're going to start noticing and being more aware of everything, including the choices that you're making to affect your entire tree.
It's basically a domino effect, right? It's a domino effect of like that just one act, and then it kind of just like
it trickles down
to everything. But I love that you broke that down into like all the different parts of the tree. And I love that. Well, first of all, that's a beautiful journey. And the fact that this all happened in the span of 4 years, that's pretty fascinating. But it's just like waking up from that unconsciousness, I think, is the hardest thing to do, right? Because I always say too, awareness is half the battle. But then getting to the awareness is like the biggest step. And I love that you point out, like, how do you strengthen that muscle? How do you become more aware and become more self-aware and develop this, right? Again, it's a practice. But then how do you even begin? And I love that you pointed out that, it takes just breath.
Yeah, it's just breath. And like, that's what I mean. 3 minutes. You can afford, even the busiest people in the world can afford 3 minutes.
And
take
honestly,
that time for yourself. And if you can't, yeah, we have a bigger problem.
I was gonna say, if you tell me that you don't have 3 minutes, the more you actually need to really take those 3 minutes exactly. because you really need it.
Exactly. And then the other thing I always say is you spend 3 minutes on the toilet every day. So if that's where you have to start breathing, freaking do it. Yeah. Just do it. You know what
three
I mean?
Like,
I'm not going to judge you for breathing on the toilet.
Compared to like scrolling on social media, 3 minutes is nothing. Really. Like just totally. Being on your phone. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that because it's a really a big part of your life, right? That yeah. now it became like this, you become this different person and most of change is a big, it's a big part of our lives and it's the hardest, yeah. one of the hardest things that happens in our lives too.
Totally. One of the things that I heard recently that I thought was really powerful is that especially as an intuitive healer or as a coach or something like that, we're constantly talking about change. We're talking about like making these changes and adjusting these things. And how can I say that you need to change this thing in your life and at the same time tell you that you are complete, that you are whole, and that you do not need fixing?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you that nobody needs to be fixed. Nobody needs to be fixed. And so how can I tell you that and also tell you to make change? Mm-hmm. And so what this person said that was so profound for me is that I'm not asking you to change. You're not changing. Because remember, who you are at your core doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're doing is we're starting to take down those identity walls we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to reconnect and remember who we really are. Because this person who is aware of everything that they think, say, and do is already there. This person who loves themselves unconditionally and who loves the people around them, even those that quote unquote wrong them, is already there. This person who takes care of her body, who moves the way she wants to and is meant to, is already there. I'm not changing anything. I'm just remembering who I am.
I love that.
Yeah.
It actually reminds me because I'm turning 50 this year, the end of the year.
And I would never have said that.
It's a big, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
but
it's at the end of the year. And so this year is a big deal for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I always choose a word for the year and it's becoming. Mm. But for me, becoming is really unbecoming the person I've always been that didn't serve me. Mm-hmm. So it's like that, right? Going back mm-hmm. to the core, like to your point. It's like yeah. I'm becoming that, just becoming the core of who I really am. Yeah. And I'm done with the bullshit. I'm done with like people pleasing. And I'm done with, you know, as long as I know in my heart that I have a good intention yeah. and that I'm living a meaningful and purposeful life, then
yeah.
that's all there is to it. That's right. what it's all about.
Right.
But yeah, it's not a change because I never actually saw it as a change. So I never even thought of it the way you put it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's really, yeah, I'm becoming. I'm yeah. taking all of these layers that I put on to,
right.
to put up a front, to look right. good in front of these people. And now I'm just like, I don't really care anymore. I don't want your drama anymore. So yeah, shedding.
Well, and I'm going to say that sometimes that can feel really daunting because I used to identify as a perfectionist, as a people pleaser, as like all of these things. And I realized like I prioritize everybody in front of myself. I place my value in what I can do for other people, like in all of these things. Like, and they just, it just felt like this, it was just too much. How do I fix? How do I change? How do I release all of this? Because it, and then like, if I do that, because I've always done that, who am I? And that's what made me realize, wait. Those are who I pretended to be. Those are the walls I put up to pretend and protect who I really am. But then, do you know Abraham Hicks? Are you aware of Esther?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Esther,
okay.
Yes.
So I was listening to an Abraham and no, I was reading Ask and It Is Given, which is the book that Esther and Jerry wrote with Abraham. And it said, to change your perspective. And I was like, what does that even mean? And I realized because I've been doing a lot of like my inner child healing kind of work recently. And to put it very, to summarize very much what's been going on. But I realized that I had been realizing that I am behaving this way or I've always felt like I had to do everything right or that I wasn't the priority or that my mom always loved my brother more than me. Like all of those things, like. I realized that those were because of this little girl's perspective. And at first, I started realizing, oh, because my mom treated me this way, or my mom took care of my brother more than me because he was sick as a kid, that makes sense. And it makes sense how I would jump to those conclusions and try to protect myself as a little girl. But then I realized that it wasn't just cause and effect. It was actually, that was, I'm going to kind of rewind a little bit. This is like an existential thing to say, but if I told you that there's no such thing as reality, there's no such thing as reality, because my reality of this conversation is different than your reality of this conversation, because our perspectives are different.
I get
you're hearing things, I'm saying things, vice versa. You know what I mean? Our perspectives are different. So based on the fact that my reality is my perspective, reality as a thing doesn't exist. So now if I apply this little girl's perspective of what was going on was so off kilter. And so if I change, it's almost like the perspective was the foundation that perfectionism, people pleasing, not being a priority, having to prove my value, all of those walls were built on the foundation of this perspective. So if I change the perspective and remove the foundation, all of those walls crumble. So we don't have to take everything apart bit by bit. We have to find the perspective that made us believe those things in the first place.
Actually,
and change our perspective.
Looking at it, yeah. I've never heard it that way, but yeah, that is actually very profound.
And then where's the fixing?
I'm going to take some time to digest that. It's just like, wait a second, let me step back here, because that was deep and very insightful, but it's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
It was massive for me. Like, I'm only talking about things I've learned.
And
it was massive for me.
To piggyback on that, my therapist, I see my therapist every week. And so one of the things that she specializes in on, and which I think is part of the IFS, the family systems. Mm-hmm. And so she talks about different parts of who you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the same thing. It's the same alignment with the perspective. Because when I have been working on my inner child as well, so I have a picture of my 5-year-old self here reminding me to just like give myself grace and be patient and give all the compassion that she needs. Anyway, but she would ask me, where do you think this part is coming from? From your teenage self, from your 20-some self. To your point, it's all that perspective. So we get to break down those different perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not serving us in any way.
But yeah.
Actually, yeah, that's really.
It's beautiful. And I want to just say.
I'm mind blown.
The thing about all of this, and I actually literally said this to a client today, is that it is so important when we start getting curious about why our behavior is a certain way, why we feel the way about ourselves that we feel, why, like where these things came from. It's really important to stay in a sense of curiosity from a point of like exploration, and because it's so easy to get into judgment, curiosity of judgment. Why would you do that? Why would you say that? Where is this even coming from? And like, no. Let's go. I wonder where this came from. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. Why would I say that about myself? That's not true. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I wonder what happened or not. I don't care what happened. That's not what I'm going to be today. We can worry about what happened later. I don't think figuring out what happened is the point, personally. I think changing our behavior now is where we start. Mm-hmm. And I use the word changing, but realizing I used to text people when I would be running late, which I do all of the time. I would be texting people and be like, oh my God, I'm the worst. I'm going to be late. And I remember coming into this thing and I was typing, texting on my phone. I'm the worst. And I was like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Why would I say that? Like, I'm late. I'm always late. You're my friend. You know I'm going to be late. You know what I mean?
Or if you know me by now, I will be late.
and like other people are late. So then why am I the worst? And it was just like this huge aha of like, yeah, not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to claim that for myself anymore. It's not true.
Yeah. And sadly, we are our worst own critics, right?
Oh, 100%. Like you've heard it said before, like when you realize how you're talking to yourself, ask yourself if you would talk to a child that way or exactly. your best friend that
exactly.
way. And 9 times out of 10, if not more, the answer yeah. is going to be no way. No yeah. freaking way. You know?
Exactly. No, so, it's yeah. totally true. But I'm going to shift gears for yeah. a moment. And I want to sort of like, I love this, like the healing journey that we've both been on. And so it's mm-hmm. like just a lot of resonance, right? So I'm
yeah, yeah,
feeling
for sure.
very connected and I could empathize with you in so many ways. But like, how does that relate to, you know, like the motherhood for yourself?
Right, right.
So if you want to share something about that.
It's so funny because I was like, how are we going to talk about this? Because like, I have to be honest with you, I feel very passionate about this and like your mission, but I don't have like a giant story around motherhood or not being a mother. I have PCOS, which I'm sure mm-hmm. a lot of
That's
people.
It's very common.
Have. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was told at a very young age that I probably would never be able to have children, but maybe we'll see what happens. Da, da, da. I was told quite a few years later that it would be possible, but I would need to be heavily monitored and I'd need to da, 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 da. And so like there was all of this like, can I, can't I? Can I, mm-hmm. can't I? And through the years of me, I have always, since I was a teenager, like been, I'm great with kids. I love children. They love me. I love to play with them. They love to play with me. I babysat all these years. Like, and there was a point where I was like, I can't have kids anyway, so I'm just going to not worry about this. That was, I think I was told when I was 16 that I couldn't have kids. And so it was before that, that like I had done this Bible verse thing and I had like had this vision of me having 2 boys and a girl. And so I knew I was going to have children. And then I was told that I couldn't. And so then I kind of let that go. And then a really good friend of mine, she was my best friend for years, and she adopted 3 babies like at once. It was unintentional, but it happened. Mm-hmm. And it was 2 boys and a girl. And it wasn't until very recently that I realized, hey, there's my 2 boys and a girl. They weren't mine, but I friggin' took care of them. They call me Aunt Julia. Like this is, you know, and I was rocking one of them when I thought, yeah, I want this. I really want this. And I'm like, I'm not getting emotional, but I'm just remembering things. Mm-hmm. And it was then that I kind of clung to hope that maybe that could happen for me. And then life happened. I moved to New York. I grew up in California and moved to New York. And I had this time where I was severely overweight, as you're aware. And I was with a friend who was beautiful and who I looked at as like, perfect, you know, mm-hmm. and I walked into a bar with her and I watched the guys at the bar look at her and then look at me and I saw their faces change. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm pretty sure today that I saw what I wanted to see, that their faces probably didn't change. And if they did, they probably liked what they saw when they saw me.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You were completely a different person then, right?
Like, exactly. But in my head, I saw their complete disappointment. And probably what I saw was just 2 dudes noticing me. Like, but the fact that they noticed me meant that they were criticizing me, that I was too fat, that I was all of these things. And I remember it was like a metal gate that they closed in front of like storefronts. I slammed that gate down and I was like, I do not want to be seen. And so for the next 20 years, the years in which I would have children, I was shut off from male view. Like I didn't date for 20 years. Like No. And it wasn't until this process of all of the transformation that I've done in the last mm-hmm. 4 years that I started dating. I started dating probably 2.5-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing and I love it. But at no point do I want children. And I can't have children. It has been proven that I cannot. I'm not even perimenopausal, but like I can't. And so I know that. And so I'm not worried about it. But I don't want them. And so like that's where I can't really relate. I love children and I all of those things. But I've gone back and forth kind of throughout my life of wanting them, not wanting them, wanting them, not wanting them. And I'm so happy yeah. where I am yeah. that like that's where I've felt a little like I'm not sure how this conversation is going to go because I'm not going to relate to the people that do want them. But I am so aware of how people speak. And I when I joined this health group, like I've been to their conventions and literally I've heard speaker after speaker, female speaker after female speaker come out on that stage and say, I'm talking to the mamas in the room. And I've looked at people and gone, so she's not talking to me? Is she talking to the women or is she talking to the moms? Because that's bullshit. I'm sorry. Right. Like that, like, no, it's not okay. And I think that it's so important for people. And I know these women. I know that they are so well-intentioned that they have no idea how ostracizing they're being, how painful, or the pain that they are causing by using those words. I don't think that they have any clue. And that's part of the problem. And that's why, like, I am passionate about this mission, even though personally, while I cannot have children from a medical standpoint, I don't want them and I'm okay with not having them.
I think the purpose of the conversation is really, I think at some point in your life, if you wanted to be a mother, but it never became to reality, whatever the reason may be, then yes, that's part of the conversation. Because the only, that's like, you know, that's why we call it by chance as opposed to not by choice. Because I always say that if it's by choice, it comes with a lot of empowerment. It comes with a lot of like, I made a choice and I'm proud of it. And, you know, it's good. And hats off to that. But when it's by chance, there is some kind of pain there.
Absolutely.
That is very common to these women, to us. But I think I love that when you actually responded to my message, you said, well, I can have children, but I also don't want to. But I'm curious, though. Do you think, because you kind of went back and forth, right? So many times you actually wanted to have children.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Adoption even, obviously, you know, you couldn't bear because of the medical condition. But and that's exhausting. The roller coaster is exhausting. And to be honest, so full transparency, when I started, I met my husband. This is my second marriage. I met my husband when I was 37. We got married 39. But when I met him, I was really done with the BS with dating. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, I got divorced 35 and 37. I'm like, I'm done playing games. Like, you know, so I remember, I think on our first or second date, I laid everything out on the table. It's like, oh yeah, I went through depression, this, that, you know, just my story. Because it's like, hey, if you don't want me, take it or leave it.
I applaud that completely.
And so, but one thing that I said, I think on our second date, I said, I don't want this to get anywhere. If one of your goals is you're very attached to the role of fatherhood, I don't know yet if I want to be a mom. And because for my first marriage, I was very sure that I didn't want to be a mom. And thank goodness it didn't happen. Like, I was very mindful of that. But then obviously it's like, oh, being with my husband, it's like, oh, wow, I wanted to have a family. So I think with that said, it's just like, it's not, I know a lot of women really have dreamed about being a mom. I'm actually not one of those either. But because of the fact that I went through a phase, it's like, oh, really? I wanted to have family with this man. You know, it's just like I have my own family. And then went through this journey. And that's where all that pain and the hardships came from. But I think with you too, there is that some kind of pain, right?
There is, for sure.
Right now, I'm happy, you know, and just... kind of like we're in the same wavelength. Like, actually, I don't think I want to have kids right now. I'm almost 50 and I'm like, you know what? I'm exhausted.
Can't imagine. Exactly. I will say that there's two things that I would love to share. The first thing is that, like, in addition to, like, even for people who it is a choice, I'm confident that there's still an, because of the energy in our society around motherhood and how it's our duty and it's all of these things. There's that aspect of it. And there's a way to kind of like take a hard nose, like stance against that. But when I started thinking about a couple of things that are so silly, like I was going through photos with my mom and like I have these, what are they called? I can't even think of what they're called, but these antiques that have been passed down from generation. Like I have my great grandmother's desk and like all of these things. And it's like, well, when my mom dies, I'm going to get those. And wait, who do I pass that? I don't pass that down to anybody. Like, what's going to happen to all these pictures? What's going to happen to all these things? So there's this idea of like, oh, what heirlooms? Like heirlooms aren't going to go beyond me. My brother's gay. He's not interested in having children. I'm not like, this all ends here. Like, and then that felt like pressure. That felt like, okay, are you sure? Like, and I started questioning all the things that I'd already come to terms with, because it was like, wait, what happens? What happens to the quote unquote bloodline? What happens to the heirlooms and the photos and the this? And then there's the aspect of, I'm not giving my mom grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And so I've had this conversation with her actually multiple times. Like, are you sure you're okay with this? Not that it would change my mind, but like, sure. It might, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm sure that it does for many women. But like, there's this like pressure that is outside of society and outside, like, it's just like, wait, what happens next? There is no next. You know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. no next generation. And even when people start talking about their legacy yeah. and wanting to leave a legacy, I'm like, am I leaving a legacy? Because I'm not leaving it to anyone. And that's what so often, like in this company that I was a part of, they always talk about building this legacy for their grandchildren and their grandchildren so that like their grandchildren don't have to worry. And they know that Grandpa Joe was the one that created this legacy for them. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't apply to me at all. So it takes it to another level of not being able to relate. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I can totally identify with that part yeah. of it. The other thing is, it was at least a year. I'm thinking it was like 2 years ago. I had a dream and I woke up bawling my eyes out because a good friend of mine, it was 18 months ago because she had just had her baby boy. And she's my age and I'm 48. And she just had her baby and I had a dream about it. And it was like I was on a hill. I remember it so vividly. And her baby, like she was chasing down her baby. They were playing, la, la, la. And he ran around and she swung him in her arms and like all this stuff. And I fell to my knees and I looked great. I was my thinnest, best self. I felt so good about myself. And it was like, and I saw her play with her baby. And all of a sudden, I was absolutely bereft. I cried and cried so hard in my dream that I woke up crying. Like wow. I was totally, and I was like, and all of a sudden, you know how we get like, what does that mean? What does that mm-hmm. mean? And so I'm thinking like, was that my inner being crying over not having a child? Like, do I really, like, is this the universe telling me that I need to have a child? Or was it like, and we were on two different tiers of like, I was on a hill, she was down here. Like, and so we were on completely different paths, so mm-hmm. to speak. And I was so upset about it. I was upset about it for weeks. And finally, I talked to a really good friend of mine who's very intuitive. And I just said, I don't know what to do because I don't think I want children. But it feels like my subconsciousness is telling me that I do, or I wouldn't have been so upset by the fact that I didn't. Like mm-hmm. I realized what she had that I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but I had everything I wanted before I saw her playing with her child. I was my thin, you know, at that point, that was really, really important to me. But I was my best self. I was feeling so good about myself until I saw what she had and I didn't. And what she said to me was, maybe this was you realizing that for once in your life, you chose you.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't choose another. You didn't put somebody else, even a baby, in front of you. You chose you.
Yeah.
And it was like the biggest weight in the world lifted because it was like, you're absolutely right. My transformation to who I am now was the biggest way of me choosing me that I've ever taken. And maybe that means that I gave up having children. But hashtag worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like, I don't know if that resonates with anybody or if that like means anything, but it was profound for me and really allowed me to release any necessity, really.
Just the pressure too. Yeah.
Or anything. Like, this is just not for me.
Yeah.
In this life, I'm choosing me.
And that's pretty powerful. And I think I would also add that it's also kind of like shedding that. It's grief. There was some part of you that was grieving. And so there was this part of you that was kind of like, it was like your parting moment, right?
Yeah, it really was.
When you chose yourself, and this is the first time that you're actually choosing yourself, it's like, oh, okay, I have to let this one go now.
Yeah.
And that comes with grief, right?
Absolutely.
And that's just what it is. And it's just, it's a feeling that, we, you know, it's something that we just get to process, and which is part of the journey. But But acknowledging that, that there is grief, there is that loss, right?
For
even
sure.
If we, there's a loss of a dream, the loss of the desire that we once had. And I think that's so powerful and that's so beautiful. And choosing yourself is just like coming in full circle, right?
Yeah, totally.
Right.
And
oh,
when
wow.
she brought that to my attention, I was like, duh. Yeah, of course. That's exactly what this was. Like, it just resonated so well with me that I was like, I know that that's what that was. That was my subconscious allowing myself to, instead of being so sad that I didn't choose that other path, being like celebrating the fact that I chose what I needed to choose. I chose me. Yeah. I chose the right thing for me.
Yeah. I love
and that. And not what society or our generations or our religion or our culture or any of those things tells us are for us. The best and most important question to ask yourself is that true? Is that true for me? Mm. It may have been true for my mom and her mom and all the women before, but is it true for me?
Mic drop right there. And I think we will end with that because that's like the most beautiful, you know, just like a wrap up that you could ever say. So thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you
for sharing with an open heart your wisdom, your words of wisdom. I would love to have you again here. And then also one of the things that I'm doing too is like, you know, I'm talking to women who share the same story. And I'm also talking to other women who can share tools on how to live the best life, because this is our time to really just shine as individual, as human beings, as women, no roles attached, with no attachment whatsoever, just us. But we need all these tools. We want to learn all these tools. And so I think, you know, we can do like a 3-minute breath work in our.
Yeah, absolutely.
You would be open to that. I would love
absolutely.
To chat on again. Thank you again for your time and your grace and your kindness and your passion to this. I appreciate you. Before we go, is there anything that where can our listeners find you? And we'll put everything in the notes, but
okay.
I would like you to share whatever you want to share.
Yeah, I am reachable. The Life After Birth podcast is available on all your favorite podcasting platforms. I'm also Julia Christine on Facebook, Julia Christine Health on Instagram, which is probably changing very soon to just Julia Christine. And then I just finally have my website under construction, and it is juliachristinehealer.com.
Awesome. Right. Thank you so much.
And thank you. This has been amazing.
This was wonderful. I mean, this is probably one of the best conversations I've had so far. So I am enjoying, I'm loving this. This is like one of the things that they say about podcasting, right? Because you're really able to have these deep conversations
it's amazing.
That you wouldn't normally
You're going
to
love it.
I'm loving it so far. And thanks to you, I've gone to a whole different level.
Good.
Thank you. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of By Chance Podcast. Your continued support will help us spread the word and create a movement out of this mission. Please don't forget to subscribe, and you can follow us on Instagram at bychance.gathering. You can also visit our website, bychancegathering.com, and you can sign up for our email list. And be the first to know about our new episodes, updates, exclusive offers, and more. All this information will be in our show notes. Lastly, if this inspires you to share your story, please email us at hello@bychancegathering.com. I would love to hear from you. Or if you know anyone who would be willing to share their story, please let us know. Share this episode with a friend, and let's continue to normalize this conversation. Until next time, this is By Chance Podcast, and I am honored to walk this journey with you.